So last time when we were thinking about these words, I was talking about sheep enclosures in parts of the country, which particularly are rocky parts of the country, like the Mourne Mountains. And you will see in such places, if you're walking in the mountains, still to this day, there are little stone enclosures where sheep can be kept as necessary. And that was the way in which sheep were penned in Bible times, with dry stone wall enclosures. And there was only one door into those dry stone wall enclosures. Just an open door, a little gap in the wall. And there may have been a rickety gate that was used, a wooden gate to give access in and out of the sheep pen. But also, at times, it may have been that the shepherd himself would have slept in the doorway. And with the sheep in the sheep pen and the shepherd in the doorway, then nothing was getting in and nothing was getting out without him knowing. You had to walk over the shepherd in order to get access in or out if you had the shepherd sleeping in the doorway. And here tonight, as we pick up on this figure of speech, it's called a figure of speech that Jesus is using in verse 6. Jesus again says to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Then notice again the language that Jesus is using. "Truly, truly, I'm not telling you a lie," he's saying here this evening. He's not saying to these people who were listening, "I'm not here to give you fake news. I'm not codding about with you. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." This is true truth that Jesus is bringing to his disciples. And he says, "I am the door of the sheep." Notice the language there. The I am. I've drawn attention to this in other places. When Moses at the burning bush was told to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground, and Moses said to God, "What is your name? Who will I tell the people has sent me? What's your name?" God said, "Tell them I am. I am has sent you. I am the self-existent one. I am the true and the living God. I am. Tell them the I am has sent you." It's the name of God. And here in verse 7, Jesus takes upon himself the name of God, which, if he is not authorized to do, this is a blasphemy. To call himself God when he wasn't God. But Jesus here says, "I am the door of the sheep." The last verse 30 there, Jesus also makes that claim. "I and the Father are one." If that's not true, that's a blasphemy. Here's the claim to divinity. Here's Jesus claiming that he is the I am and that him and the Father are one. This is the Son of God speaking. And he says, "I am the door of the sheep." In other words, for you and for me to be saved, it takes God to save us. And only God. The only way into the people of God, the only way to belong to the sheepfold, the only way to be counted as one of the Lord's sheep is for God to save you. You cannot save yourself. Your church cannot save you. Your minister, your pastor, your priest cannot save you. It is only God that can save you. And Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." He says the same thing, something very similar, a few chapters later in John chapter 14, where he is talking about the way to the Father's house. And he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, there's one door. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one true religion. The world says there are many faiths. No, there aren't. There may be many religions. There may be many forms of religious activity out there. But Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the door of the sheep. And this is very controversial in this diverse world in which we are living, where people are all supposed to have valid opinions. But here is Jesus Christ drawing attention to himself and saying, I, and I alone, am the door of the sheep. Notice next what he says in verse 9, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Notice there your need to be saved. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If you haven't entered by him, you're not saved. You need to be saved. Saved from false teaching. Saved from depending on yourself. Saved from believing lies. Saved from sin. Saved from death. Saved from judgment. Saved from hell. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus here is clearly directing attention to himself. You have to enter by him. You have to come by the way of the cross, which we're going to come to. You have to come by that way. If you don't come by that way, you're on no way. You're on the highway to hell. But if you come by the door, if anyone enters by me, here's these lovely, gracious words. If anyone enters by me, notice the if. Not everybody comes. Go to modern funerals and it seems like everybody's gone to heaven. We only go to heaven if we've come by the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And notice how Jesus warns in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now here's the promise of God. I came that they may have life. He has not come just as some great teacher or some great miracle worker. He has come to give you life, eternal life. He has come to save your soul. He has come to bless you in a way that you by yourself could never discover, never earn, never merit. This is the gift of God. And this is why in verse 7, Jesus repeats what he has already said. I am in verse 9, what he has already said in verse 7, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He repeats himself. Because sometimes we need to hear things over and over again before we'll believe them. And he says there are thieves out there. In other words, they're false teachers. There are people who want to steal your life away. There are people who want to ruin your life. There are people who will tell you, do this, do that. There are other things that will steal your life. Alcohol will steal your life. Gambling will steal your life. Lust will steal your life. Drugs will steal your life. Pride will steal your life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. If you're not following Jesus, something will kill and destroy and steal your life. But if you're following Jesus, he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. He doesn't give us, in any sense, meagerly. He gives us abundantly. And these words here are an assurance to us from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is the good shepherd, the caring shepherd, the guarding shepherd, the loving shepherd. And then we have it again in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What a remarkable statement that is in Scripture. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It reminds me of David in the Old Testament. Boys and girls, you know the story of David in the Old Testament. I love the story of David, how whenever Goliath comes out, and David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I have fought with bears. I have fought with lions. He's just going to be like one of them. I love the way David says that. And boys and girls, you can imagine what it must have been like if a wee boy like you, maybe just a few years older, a wee girl like you, was out on the mountainside looking after a clatter of sheep, and you saw coming down the valley a bear, a grizzly bear, sniffing around, sniffing lamb for dinner. And he wasn't worried about the mint sauce. He just wanted to get in amongst the lambs. And David, what did David do? Well, Jesus says the hired hand ran away. What did David do? David lifted his stones and started throwing stones at the bear. And throwing stones at the lion, the paw of the lion and the mouth of the bear. Does that sound risky? You're on your own. And there's the bear and there's the lion. And all you've got are a few stones. And he slings with his slingshot. And he's firing the stones. He knew what it was to fight with bears and with lions. In other words, he knew what it was to risk his life. And David was such a shepherd of those sheep, his father's sheep. He was Jesse's son. He was looking after those sheep. He was so concerned for them. He was ready even to die for them. But Jesus Christ, in order for us to be saved, did die. Is that what he says? He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. And I love the way the Bible says that he had authority to lay it down. Jesus makes that clear. He says in verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus didn't have his life wrenched from him. It wasn't forced out of him, dragged to the cross that we were singing about a few moments ago. Jesus willingly went to the cross. Because only by shedding his blood upon the cross could he pay for the sheep. He didn't pay for the sheep with silver or gold. He paid for the sheep with his blood. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. That you and I could be free from our sins. That you and I could have a hope, that you and I could discover the joy of eternal life and walking with God now, and life abundant, and one day being in heaven forevermore. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, verse 12, and not a shepherd, he runs away, he sees the wolf coming and leaves them. He flees because he has a hard hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. They know you, Lord. They know your voice, Lord. They have heard you, Lord. They have seen you, Lord. They have sensed you by faith, Lord. They have discerned you, Lord. They have heard you calling them, Lord. And they have discovered the joy of eternal life. And they have overcome, as Revelation 12 says, they've overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They've got a testimony to what God has done for them in saving them from sin. Last weekend, we were dog sitting for our son and daughter-in-law. son and daughter-in-law's cockapoo was with us for 3 days. And we had charge of the little darling for 3 days. On Friday night, he decided that, Lynn went out on Friday night, and I came back in. She'd gone out the front door. I came back in again, and he was nowhere to be seen. I walked around the house calling his name, nowhere to be seen. Down to the back of the house, back to the front, into every single room on the ground floor, nowhere to be seen. Went upstairs, all the doors were closed because you have to keep the doors closed or he's in all the rooms, nowhere to be seen. The sweat was breaking on me. I went and got a torch. I thought he must have slipped out when Lynn went out through the front door. So I got a torch and goes out into the car park calling his name, Barney, Barney, Barney. Then I got my phone, turned the light on in it as well. Cars were still whizzing up and down as they do across the manse. I thought, well, at least he hasn't been knocked down because I presume somebody would have stopped. Nowhere to be seen. Come back into the house again. Boy, did the house feel empty. Really empty. And then I thought, I wonder, there's a sunroom, the curtains were pulled in the sunroom. I just thought, could he have got in there? I don't know how he did this. I opened the curtains and there he was standing with that look on his face. What? Where'd you think it was? For 10, 15 minutes, that dog was lost. He could have been dead on the road. But then he was found. Wonder, are you lost tonight? Far away from the Lord. Far away from the goodness and the love of the Lord. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you to be found. And he calls you tonight by name. He calls you to come. He calls you by the word of his grace. He calls you that you should come. And that's why there's so much mention of his voice here in these passages. This is why there's so much mention of the flock. Jesus says, I have other sheep, verse 16, that are not of this sheepfold. In other words, he says, this sheepfold I'm talking to, these are Jews, but there's another sheepfold he's talking about. In other words, people coming to him, Gentiles coming to him. There's Jews who come to him, but there's Gentiles, non-Jews, who come to him, and there will be one flock. There's not a Jewish flock and an Irish flock and a British flock and a French flock and a German flock and an American flock. There's one flock. And those who are members of the Lord's flock of sheep are those who have believed that he died for them on the cross and shed his blood, and they have come to him by faith. And they're part of the Lord's flock. There shall be one flock, verse 16, and there shall be one shepherd. Notice verse 19, there was a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon. He's insane. Why? Listen to him. Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? You see how Jesus' words, his ministry, divided the people? Some people said, he's insane. And some people said, he's inspired. He's come from God. Wonder what you're sitting there tonight saying, this is madness, or this is me, I need to come. And at that time, we're told in verse 22, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I did tell you and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Last year when I was moderator, well, I'm still moderator, but you know what I mean. Last year when I was the moderator, you know what I mean. I had a little children's address. I think I've maybe used it here as well, where I have a pound coin, and I hold it in the palm of my hand, and I call the children up and say, if you can get that pound out of my hand, you can have it. Very hard for a child to open the hand of a fully grown man who's holding onto something really tightly. I did that children's address in many churches across the island. Not one child was able to get my hand open. Not one. And this is what Jesus is saying here. If you are held in his hand, nothing will be able to prize you out of the hand of Jesus Christ. Nothing. That's what he says. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Of course, Jesus isn't talking about pound coins. He's talking about sheep. And when farmers get their hands on their sheep, they hold on to them. Isn't that right? If they're working with them, they really have to hold on to them. And Jesus is saying here, if you're held onto by the hands of God, the Son of God, then you will be held onto for all eternity. Whatever happens. Because my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. He's greater than everything. He's greater than anything. So no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I find this passage of Scripture, it just warms my heart. And as I finish this evening, I wonder, notice again, verse 31, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. You've just sat here tonight and just listened to me and said, this is lovely, Mr. Murray. The Jews picked up stones to stone him. Because they understood that Jesus was here claiming to be God. To be God. They understood that what he was saying, if he's saying things like, I'm going to lay down my life and it's going to buy the Lord's sheep with the blood of God, and I'm going to hold on to those sheep forevermore with these hands, they're either going to him, you are mad or you're a blasphemer. And they pick up stones to stone him to death. For blasphemy, verse 33, because you, being a man, make yourself God. And if I have properly explained this passage of Scripture this evening, you should have understood from what I am saying that I am talking about Jesus Christ, who is God. And notice how Jesus answers them. He quotes a psalm. He quotes a psalm, verse 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and Scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Quotes their scriptures to them. The Bible talks about gods walking this earth, he says. I remember years ago hearing people talking about the Royal Victoria Hospital and talking about the, you know, the long corridors in the hospital and talking about the surgeons who walked up and down the corridors. And I remember somebody it always stuck with me. They used the expression, they said, those surgeons walk up and down the corridors like gods. And Jesus here is saying that people on earth do get treated like gods Surgeons aren't gods. No human being is a god. But here's a man who can open the eyes of the blind. Here is a man who can raise the dead. Here is a man who can cast out demons. Here is a man who can cleanse lepers. Here is a man who himself will be raised from the dead. He is the Son of God. So believe him. Trust him. Commit your all to him, because he paid for your blood, paid for your soul with his blood. The sacrifice, the one final complete sacrifice for you and for me, that we could know God. What a gift. What a gift that you and I have been offered. Hope you've received it. If you want to talk to me about these things, feel free to come and chat. I'll gladly do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for these wonderful words of teaching, the instruction, this figure of speech that he has been expounding to these Jewish leaders and men and women listening in this winter time as he's walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. Lord, it's so vivid. This is not just some made-up record. These are eyewitness accounts, and we thank you for it. That this is no theory, no philosophy, but this is your message, your word. And Father, we thank you that we can come to it. Truly, truly, I say to you, and we can trust what you have said, because these are the words of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.